We're going to be reading and talking now for about 20 minutes. So you might wonder, well, how does it work when there's breaking of bread and all of these different things? So about 10 to, we're going to be finishing our morning. So slightly shorter talk that we're sharing this morning. So for the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to be reading the next section from Luke. And we're reading from Luke chapter 13. It was great 2 weeks ago to have Dan helping us to understand the passage that preceded this one. And now we're continuing through our series as we read Luke 13, 22 to 35. John has got a Bible if you'd like one. And there's a couple more up here as well. John, if you want them, here we go. You can hand those out too. Thanks. But also, we'll put the words on the screen so that those of you, some of us might be able to read the words from the distance you're sitting. Now, I find it hard sometimes to remember what a passage is about. And so here's a suggestion, three words that summarize really the themes of this passage. And I hope these three words will trigger you to remember the rest of what this morning is about. Luke 13, 22 to 35. The first part, it talks about a few. It's in response to a question that Jesus is asked. And it's about a few. The second part is about a fox. And then the third part is about feathers, okay? They're the three elements of this morning's passage, about a few, it's about a fox, and about feathers. So let's roll our way through this passage. We're going to read it as we go and explore this together. And we've been praying and we're coming believing that God wants to speak to us as we read this passage. We're coming with open, thirsting hearts as we explore this together. So let's head right in and read the first part that we've titled, Few. And we'll read from verse 22. We'll read a little bit, talk about it, read a little bit, talk about it, and make our way down to verse 35 together. So verse 22 says this. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Let's stop there for a moment. So we've already found, as we've been exploring through Luke, that it's about the journey of Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem. That's really the shape of the Gospel of Luke. And so Jesus is carrying on his way. He's making his way through the towns and villages, and somebody is now walking beside him. And it seems that there are loads of people behind them, crowds. And this person perhaps has heard Jesus talk before about just a few people. And now he turns to Jesus as they're walking. And it's beautiful, isn't it, that Jesus is so approachable that he's just there among everybody. And he turns to him, or she turns to him, and says, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Maybe they're saying it in a kind of, Jesus, this is unexpected, isn't it? Look at this great crowd following on after you and after us. We're going to Jerusalem. A few, there's loads of people. Look at them all following after us. And it's that that triggers what Jesus says next. This is verse 23 and on into 24. He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. We're going to see that the tone of Jesus' voice through this passage is deeply loving, deeply caring. He's concerned for this man or woman who's asked this question, and he's speaking personally into their life, into their heart. You know, I think he's speaking personally to us too. He says, enter, go in through the narrow door. And he says, there'll be many who try to enter and will not be able to. It felt, I'm sure, at that moment that there was a cultural movement, that the whole of the people were going to turn to Jesus, that he was going to usher in a new kingdom, we're going to roll into Jerusalem, this is going to explode across our people, and everyone is going to be saved. But Jesus is saying, look, you're not able to just get washed up into this story. You're not going to stumble and accidentally find yourself something part of something glorious. You are going to need to seek. You're going to need to seek after God. You're going to need to head for the narrow door, the unnoticed door, the secret way, the narrow path. Some of us as friends were reading this passage on Tuesday night in our small group. And they said, Andy, the door, it's talking about Jesus. He's the narrow door, isn't he? So, yes, he is. We're not going to, just by being a part of a growing church, find ourselves a part of what God is doing. You might come every week, but that's not going to make you a part of what God's doing. You might have grown up in a family who talks a lot about Jesus. That's not going to make you a part of what God's doing. It's only going to be if you seek after the narrow door and seek after the person of Jesus that you're going to be entering in to what God is doing. Verse 25 says that there's an owner of the house who is going to close the door. This isn't an offer that is open forever, but there's a moment where history is closed. The tone changes. There's a new start, and it's the moment where you're in or you're not in. You're in or you're out, and it's all about what you've done with Jesus. Have you entered through the narrow door? Have you looked at him? Have you come to him in the way we were describing as we prepared to share this bread and wine? Because the owner is going to close the door, and there's going to be those inside and those outside and those who are outside. And he's speaking to the person still on the road, and he's saying, look, don't be outside, because he loves her or he loves him. He says, don't be outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. And Jesus carries on in verse 25, because if you're outside the door, this is what's going to happen. He will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Verse 26, then you will say, we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. What a terrible conversation. What a heart-rending moment, you know. Jesus is looking at this person and he's saying, don't be on this outside, because if you're on the outside, then you'll be pounding on the door one day longing to come in, and the owner of the house will say, I don't know you, or your people, where you come from, I don't know you. And then he swaps over and he says, but you'll say, we ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets. Of course you know us. You see what Jesus has done here? To start with, he was telling a story about some other owner of some other house, and they're all looking in together about this story. Wow, who could that be? Who's closing the door at the end of history? Who is it going to say, you're outside, you're inside? Who could that be? And now Jesus has continued the conversation, and he's shown the person who's asked the question, it's Jesus who opens or closes the door. He's the one who's eaten and drunk with them. He's the one who's teaching in the streets. And he's saying, me, Jesus, I am the one who close or open that door. This is a God claim from Jesus. He is saying that he is the one who is going to judge everything at the end of time. I don't know you or where you come from. We ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets. It's about Jesus. And then verse 27, he will reply, I don't know you. or where you come from, away from me, you evildoers. What a horrific thing to hear. And of course, the person walking along, why was Jesus saying this? It was because Jesus loved them and wanted to awaken them a kind of yearning for responding to Jesus. He wanted to awaken them a yearning to find the narrow door, to seek God, to come to his rescue plan. And he wants to do the same in our hearts this morning too. Verse 28 continues with some familiar language, but this puts it into context. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. But you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Weeping because they're outside, gnashing of teeth because it's just heartbreaking that we're not in what God has been planning. Seeing as though through a crack in the door, the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob all coming to be there with Jesus, the door opener or door closer, or the door himself, to use another picture, all the prophets, but you outside. And then in verse 29, east, west, north, south, there's going to be people even from distant places like this little island who are welcomed in because they saw the narrow door. They put their trust in Jesus. But you, be careful that you don't get left out, that you don't stay out on the wrong side of that door. And then he finishes in verse 30. There are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. You're walking right by me right now, and we're having this chat on the road, and we've eaten and drunk together. I've taught in your streets. But there are people far off who perhaps are going to trust in me, Jesus says, before you do. Jesus wants to awaken us a longing, a thirsting to respond to what he's done, to come to him and say, sorry for all the wrong things I've done. Thank you that you died for me. Please be my king. I want to live for your honor now. In chapter 13, verse 31, Jesus is brought into another conversation. And it's the Pharisees this time who come along. And this is what they say. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. The Pharisees, well, they wanted to get rid of Jesus for their own reasons. And later, they were going to be working with Herod, actually, to get rid of him. But the point was, they didn't want him around. And so they share this threat. And Jesus replies this in verse 32. He replied, go and tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. When I lived abroad, we used to have occasional glimpses of foxes. Here, we've got these beautiful foxes with their lovely fat tails, and they kind of lithely slither through the hedges, and they're all kind of model foxes. I don't think Jesus was thinking of one of those foxes. Where we used to live, we had rabies, and you'd never see a fox, except for one that, when one had gone crazy, and it was kind of walking sideways down the street, and had hair hanging out of it, and one eye half shut, and it's on the last legs, it's going to die, and it's dribbling, and it brings death. That's the kind of fox that Jesus was thinking of. And he says this, I'm driving out demons and I'm healing, but this isn't my overall goal. my goal is going to be reached on the third day. And if you look carefully at that passage, you see that twice Jesus says, one, two, three. It's the third day. Look out for the third day. Maybe the Pharisees was going, well, it's Tuesday now, Wednesday, Thursday, that's Friday. Let's look out what happens on Friday. But Jesus was actually trying to tag the third day. Say, look out for the third day. Look out for the third day, because the big deal, the big story, is going to be the third day. And again, Jesus tags this so that people would be looking out and wondering. And then on the third day, when Jesus rises from the dead, everybody says, that's it. Jesus conquers death. We realize who he is. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names, conquers death on the third day. Let's read the last part of this passage. It speaks of feathers. Because now Jesus, he looks at this city, and in a poetic way, he prays for this city. And if you realize the tone of his prayer is as the one who'd sent the prophets and the one who had sent those who brought God's word to them. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus is speaking from the point of view of heaven, because that's where he's come from. And he gazes down on this city as he has before, but now he's here as a man among us. And he gazes on this city and he reflects on the history and how he sent prophets to them, but how they have just rejected them. And yet this is against his heart, because he's longing to draw them in. You see, Jesus here paints himself as a female hen whose wings can be outstretched and drawing the weak and vulnerable chicks under her wings. That's Jesus's picture. That's what he says he wants to do to Jerusalem. That's what he wants to do also to London, to Caterham, to you personally. Draw you under his wings. Bring you to a place of peace and safety that's only found in him. But he speaks on in verse 35, look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is himself prophesying, and he's looking forward, and he can see the destruction of Jerusalem. But he's referring back to the psalm that Haley read to us, Psalm 119, that speaks of the God who rescues, about the capstone that's rejected, but the one who is actually the name above all names, the key to everything, the one through whom they can experience that embrace. Well, it's a beautiful passage. You know, we could spend a couple of hours reading it together, but it speaks of the few. And you know, what about you and what about me? Am I seeking to know him? That's why Jesus was saying these things. He wants to inspire us to seek to know him. The reason and the words he said to the fox was, look out for the third day, because there's going to be a victory on the third day. Are we putting our trust in the one who rose from the dead on the third day? And feathers, well, am I experiencing the embrace, the safe place of the one who stretches out his wings to draw you and me under those feathers into that safe place? We're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to enjoy, after a brief pause, some tea and coffee together. But we're going to close our time together this morning as I pray now. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we could just walk with you for those moments down that road and listen in on those conversations that were so carefully recorded. We thank you that it's more than looking back at history, but that your Holy Spirit among us is helping us to hear your voice. And this morning, you're calling us to seek to know you. We pray that we would enter through that narrow door, that we'd come to you, Jesus, in repentance, saying, I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm going to live your way. Please be my king. Please forgive me. Let us be those, wherever we are in our Christian walk, who seek to know you, the one who is God, who came to us. And Lord, we pray that we would be those who celebrate and look out for that third day victory. Recognize what you did as you rose from the dead, conquering death. Let us celebrate and rejoice in that. And Lord, thank you for the humble picture you paint of a dusty chicken. And yet you say, that's like me, the God of heaven, stretching out my wings, longing to bring the vulnerable under my wings and into my embrace. Let us be humble and come to you, willing and longing to receive your embrace. We worship you, Jesus. Please be the center of our conversations as we continue now this morning, as we enjoy this tea and coffee and time together. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we worship you. Amen.